Today is the 11th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible from Istanbul, Turkey. I am Brian.
It's a joy to be here with you today as we reach the conclusion of another week. And so we look back. We always look forward at the beginning of the week and we get to the end of the week. And now we look back. How did it go? Reflecting helps us grow. How did it go? How did our intentions at the beginning of the week play out? We can kind of review this and become self-aware and paying attention to the things that have happened and the choices that we've made. We can really, truly, deeply grow from that. And the scriptures continually lead us forward. And so grateful to be here with you today as we conclude another one of our weeks together. We are continuing our journeys through Jeremiah and 1 Thessalonians. And so let's dive in. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16 through 18, verse 23 today. But now I will send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will catch them. After that, I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them down on every mountain and hill, and from the crevices of the rocks. My eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their sin concealed from my eyes. I will repay them double for their wickedness and their sin, because they have defiled my land with the lifeless forms of their vile images, and have filled my inheritance with their detestable idols. Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in time of distress, to you the nations will come from the ends of the earth and say, our ancestors possessed nothing but false gods, worthless idols that did them no good. Do people make their own gods? Yes. But they are not gods. Therefore, I will teach them. This time, I will teach them my power and might. Then they will know that my name is the Lord. Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point, on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. Even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles beside the spreading trees and on the high hills. My mountain in the land and your wealth and all your treasures I will give away as plunder, together with your high places because of sin throughout your country. Through your own fault you will lose the inheritance I gave you. I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for you have kindled my anger and it will burn forever. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when he comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Like a partridge that hatches eggs it did not lay, are those who gain riches by unjust means. When their lives are half gone, their riches will desert them, and in the end they will prove to be fools. A glorious throne, exalted from the beginning, is the place of our sanctuary. Lord, you are the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise. They keep saying to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it now be fulfilled. I have not run away from being your shepherd. You know I have not desired the day of despair. What passes my lips is open before you. Do not be a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let my persecutors be put to shame, but keep me from shame. Let them be terrified, but keep me from terror. Bring on them the day of disaster. Destroy them with double destruction. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and stand at the gate of the people, through which the kings of Judah go in and out. Stand also at the other gates of Jerusalem. Say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all people of Judah, and everyone living in Jerusalem who come through these gates. This is what the Lord says. Be careful not to carry a load on the Sabbath day, or bring it through the gates of Jerusalem. Do not bring a load out of your houses or do any work on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy, as I commanded your ancestors. Yet they did not listen or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and would not listen or respond to discipline. But if you are careful to obey me, declares the Lord, and bring no load through the gates of this city on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy by not doing any work on it, then kings who sit on David's throne will come through the gates of this city with their officials. They and their officials will come riding in chariots and on horses, accompanied by the men of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, and this city will be inhabited forever. People will come from the towns of Judah and the villages around Jerusalem, from the territory of Benjamin and the western foothills, from the hill country and the Negev, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, and bringing thank offerings to the house of the Lord. But if you do not obey me to keep the Sabbath day holy by not carrying any load as you come through the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle an unquenchable fire in the gates of Jerusalem that will consume her fortresses. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. When the word of the Lord came to me, he said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does? Declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Inquire among the nations. Who has ever heard anything like this? A most horrible thing has been done by Virgin Israel. Does the snow of Lebanon ever vanish from its rocky slopes? Do its cool waters from distant sources ever stop flowing? Yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their ways and the ancient paths. They made them walk in byways on roads not built up. Their land will be an object of horror and of lasting scorn. All who pass by will be appalled and will shake their heads. Like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their disaster. They said, "Come, let's make plans against Jeremiah. For the teaching of the law by the priest will not cease, nor will counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophets. So come, let's attack him with our tongues and pay no attention to anything he says." Listen to me, Lord. Hear what my accusers are saying. Should good be repaid with evil? Yet they have dug a pit for me. Remember that I stood before you and spoke in their behalf to turn your wrath away from them. So give their children over to famine. Hand them over to the power of the sword. Let their wives be made childless and widows. Let their men be put to death, their young men slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when you suddenly bring invaders against them. For they have dug a pit to capture me and have hidden snares for my feet. But you, Lord, know all their plots to kill me. Do not forgive their crimes or blot out their sins from your sight. Let them be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 5, 3. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as, in fact, you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your own hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Psalm 81. For the director of music, according to Gittith of Asaph. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music, strike the timbrel, play the melodious harp and lyre. Sound the ram's horn at the new moon, and when the moon is full, on the day of our festival. This is a decree for Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. When God went out against Egypt, he established it as a statute for Joseph. I heard an unknown voice say, I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress, you called and I rescued you. I answered you out of a thundercloud. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear me, my people, and I will warn you. If you would only listen to me, Israel, you should have no foreign god among you. You shall not worship any god other than me. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. Proverbs 25:6-8. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before his nobles. What you have seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily to court. For what will you do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for bringing us safely to this ending, this conclusion of another one of our weeks that we get to spend this first full week in this 10th month of the year of October, and this 20th year of being together as a community at the Daily Audio Bible. Wow. Humble gratitude, God. How you brought us this far. How you brought us this far is unthinkable, unimaginable. And yet, we can each think this in each of our lives, in all of our contexts. How you brought us this far is unimaginable. With some of the choices that we have made, how we got here. Some of us are in the middle of the storm of that. How we got here is how we got here. And yet, there's always a path forward. And we have to take one step at a time forward, out of what is false, out of deception, and into what is true. And it may take us some time to shake off the grime of all of that. It may take a long time for people to trust that there has actually been change in us, but our mission isn't to convince. Our mission is to be true. And our lives speak for themselves far more than our demands to be seen as changed. So lead us into all truth, Holy Spirit. Lead us on the narrow path that leads to life, and let us keep our eyes fixed on you and not what anybody else thinks. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. So welcome back to another, I guess, installment that we're trying to do daily from this grand adventure.
Day two. In Istanbul.
Istanbul, is correct. So how are you doing with the jet lag?
I'm pretty okay at the moment.
Yeah, I'd say we're more than 50%. Yeah. So we got like quite a bit of, well, I wouldn't say we. I mean, the sleep is disturbed and everything, and it's a little messy, but...
Yeah, when you say we, you should probably just say you, because I was watching you for a long time sleep last night.
Yeah, I stayed up really late trying to get all this together, this little routine that we're going to do, because we literally have a rotating studio that we have sitting in front of us, wires everywhere, and just getting the routine...
It sounds glamorous, doesn't it?
That sounds so much more glamorous than it is, but this is how we're doing this so that we're not alone on this trip.
Yeah.
And so thanks for being back here. This was a day to just get acclimated. We have a very aggressive schedule. Mm-hmm. And we kind of had the first half of the day just to go slow, and we did, and then... Kind of jumped in slow, but man, surprises today. Right? So, yeah. The Bosphorus River did not know all this. The Bosphorus River runs here between two seas, the Black Sea and, well, ultimately the Mediterranean. And it's this river, and it goes right through Istanbul. And Istanbul is the only city in the world that is on two continents.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So part of the city is in Europe and part of the city is in Asia.
Yeah.
And that was trivia for the day. And we got to get on a boat and ride for a couple hours on the Bosphorus River and really learn a lot. more than we could remember, but just to really see, the times from the Ottoman Empire and just some of the construction and just the antiquity and how ancient this city actually is, how far it actually does go back.
Yeah, and that on the Istanbul side, it's very lovely and sunny.
You mean the European side?
The European, yeah, sorry. I'm fading fast here. The European side, it was sunny, beautiful. I just had a sweatshirt wrapped around my waist. And then when we turned and headed for the Asia side, We all got chilly.
Isn't that weird? Like
it was so weird. And then the strangest thing about, well, it's not the strangest, but one of the cool facts is I guess when you have more money than you know what to do with, you build a house on one side of the lake, river. What was it?
The Bosphorus River.
The river. And then you build a winter home on the other side of the river. And I was like, really?
How,
like,
these sultans did all this? Yeah.
Like they had more money that they had to go across from each other, like multiple homes. And then when we hit the Asia side, I was like, okay, now I see it.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's cooler on the other side.
Yeah. Not cooler, like hipper. Yeah. But like cooler, like.
Temperature.
It's cold.
Yeah. So summertime over there and wintertime in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to do is cross the river.
You just got to cross the river and pack a whole lot more clothes on one side than the other.
Sounds more glamorous. Yeah, I spend my winters in Asia and I spend my summers in Europe.
Yeah.
When you're just crossing the river. So that's just trivia. Like, it doesn't have anything to do specifically with the New Testament or the Bible. What this city does, mm-hmm. not so much the Bible, but this city certainly has massive implications in church history, because Istanbul used to be called Constantinople, and Constantinople, well, very, very pivotal, and we learned some of that information today. At one time, it was called Byzantium, because it was the capital of the Byzantine Empire, which is, you know, man, there are Byzantine ruins all over the land of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
All over the land. When that was the empire, ruins from that, those times are everywhere. And so that is this city. And then, as I'm understanding it, the name was changed to Constantinople when Constantine, the emperor of Rome, converted over. And that was in 330 AD. So going way back to very, very, very early church history. And he dedicated this city as the new Rome, Constantinople. And man, and there's so many ancient church councils that happened here. Councils from Constantinople. And like, for example, the first Council of Constantinople confirmed the Nicene Creed, which is something that we'll probably talk about more in the next day, because we're going to Nicaea to actually see where the Nicene Creed was decided. And that really did solidify statements and beliefs about the Holy Spirit. And then the Second Council of Constantinople, which was in 553, really, like, there was a lot of debate about the nature of Jesus, and by church council there was really seeking out of what his nature was, and fully God, fully man, as we understand that. Like, we just are like, that's always been that way. Well, that actually was a church council.
Yeah.
And that happened here in Istanbul.
And I know that when you're not there, you know, we're here and you're there listening. And when you're not here, it can be hard to catch some of this stuff. But I learned these things a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed some things for me.
Yeah.
Church history is essential, I think. It's an essential piece to our faith. Not everybody gets the luxury, the privilege of learning about it. But I hope everybody can take a little bit something away that's listening, because these things really are foundational to what we believe. And I talk about a lot on chronological, but it's when you listen to the Bible and know God by knowing God's words through his word, knowing who he is, where our faith becomes our own.
Yeah.
We can't get by with a hand-me-down faith any longer. And even realizing, you know, where we came from, how some of these things were established, where they were established, why they were established, that they're not in the Bible necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But scholars got together and debated it out peacefully and voted on some of these things.
I mean, that's crazy, but that's the story of the faith as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us just don't know it and how we got here. And that allows us to wrestle with how we got here. And that's part of working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, like the Bible says.
Yeah, and I truly don't mean any disrespect, but the statement is true that we will argue till we're blue in the face over our beliefs that we're completely ignorant on how we got them.
Yeah, how we got here.
And fight people over them. And we're doubling down on bits of information that we don't know how to explain for ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
And so when I learned, you know, church history and some of these things, especially like the importance of Nicaea, it changed the game. And interestingly, we haven't talked about it yet, where we were today, and I don't know if you intend to, but
oh yeah,
our tour guide, I found it so refreshing, like she didn't know much about the Bible.
Yeah.
So she's just coming from a historical place.
Mm-hmm.
And she's asking, or she's giving bits of information, and I'm like, she does not understand that what she's saying is the story of the Bible from the Old Testament to the New.
Yeah.
On, you know, a new ruler coming in,
mm-hmm.
being ruled by their ego, by power, by position, and wanting to rid everything and everybody of the last ruler.
Yeah.
And so they come in and literally will just start scratching away things that are engraved into, markers and monuments that are just memorializing.
Mm-hmm.
Just to do away with it.
Yeah.
So that I can not even put God's name anywhere.
Yeah.
So that the ruler's name could be.
Yeah.
And I just kind of chuckled, like, to myself, silently chuckling inside,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Mm-hmm.
that she didn't know that what she's saying is literally the story of the Bible. Like, history will always repeat itself.
Yeah.
And we don't even know the history. So it's very eye-opening. God says, don't forget.
Yeah.
Don't forget where you came from and what I did.
Write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Make a memorial. Yeah, don't forget. Before we get to that thing that you were just alluding to, because that was really the big...
Huge
today. Constantinople. I mean, there were, in church history, there are these things called the Crusades.
Mm.
And everybody's probably heard of those, which was kind of an attempt to regain the Holy Land and recapture Jerusalem, et cetera, et cetera. But
not to be confused with your children's crusade.
Yeah, not to be confused with any of that. No.
That happened with, like, you know, Uncle Stanley coming with his puppets to tell people about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Not that kind of crusade.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Very, very dark chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Very dark chapters in church history. But the Fourth Crusade destroyed Constantinople. Like, these are Christians invading another, you know, Christian capital city and pillaging and destroying and burning and killing and raping and very, very dark, dark, dark chapter.
Evil.
Very evil here in Istanbul, Constantinople, as it was called then. And the memories, you know, obviously we're dealing with a historian, and so, but man, there's just that rift, that that injustice, it's still reverberating.
Mm-hmm.
From all of these, you know, from 1,000 years ago. And so That is some of the rich history. So not specifically New Testament history, but this is just where we've landed and where we're getting going. And it's just rich, rich, rich in church history. And that led us to the, you know, to the just an unbelievably overwhelming place that we visited today called the Hagia Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest church. And man, what were your impressions?
I mean, you say that like it's just a fact, but I had a moment where I was like, I'm standing in the oldest church in history.
Like of this nature, yeah.
Of this nature. And at one time it was the largest church of its kind, or the largest church. And then our tour guide went on to name the larger churches that came after it.
Right. And there were three. Mm-hmm. It's the fourth now. And
so I was curious, like, you know, what makes somebody just want to go, well, I'm going to build the next largest church in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much like ego power. And I get like, that's probably a blanket statement. There's something to be said about wanting to bring honor and glory to God.
And man, what a place.
What a place. But to know that it's, well, there's, can I just give some clues away?
Yeah, absolutely.
This church is not named after anyone specifically.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, the Basilica of St. Peter.
Right.
It's a woman's name.
Right.
That means wisdom.
Yes, Sophia.
Sophia
means wisdom.
Sophistication is one of the words it derived from.
Mm.
I just absolutely loved that.
Yeah.
For no reason other than if we had to name the voice of wisdom, which is feminine, female throughout the Bible.
In the book of Proverbs, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going with Sophia. That's a beautiful, sophisticated name.
Yeah, or that means, well, the church itself. Divine wisdom.
Divine wisdom.
God's wisdom.
And so, when I learned that, it just made me really happy.
Yeah.
I just was like, there's no ego in that. Like, that's sort of this mystical, which don't freak out, you know, by the name, by the word mystical, but the mystery of God, like resting in the mystery of God, that which we cannot understand, but by faith we believe.
Yeah.
And one day, maybe all of those mysteries, they'll be revealed to us, but I sure like to try in the meantime.
Yeah.
And to know that this gift of wisdom is available to all of us when we seek God is, I don't know, it was a little moving just to stand there and hear that and take it in. And it's just absolutely magnificent and beautiful.
Yeah.
Architecturally.
Yeah. It's had a long history, obviously. And,
go ahead.
Well, I mean, so Turkey at this point is largely a Muslim nation. So the Hagia Sophia, which was like kind of the biggest Christian church in the Christian capital of the world at one time, has kind of been a lot of things. And it was a museum for a long time, but it's now a mosque, which is kind of strange.
Yeah.
No less beautiful and everything. It just the history. It really is. I mean, some of these cathedrals in the world that you walk into where they have really been built and it took a long time and they're really thought out to bring majesty and glory to God. They do. Like there's, they're overwhelming. They're just magnificent. That this happens when we're in Israel and some of the places as well. When there's just so much history and so much human attempt to try to just tap into the mystery of God and create a space that brings glory to God, but also brings awe.
Yes. Yes.
And this is one of them.
And I've really thought a lot, especially this year. It's really hit me about the building of the church itself.
Mm.
And I think it really hit me this year when I learned that God didn't ask anybody to build a temple, a church, a place of worship for them to come in and worship him. It was King David who asked God if he could.
Mm.
And it just really struck me how much we have made it about the building sometimes.
Yeah.
And rather the purification of our heart in a place where we're supposed to come to give reverence and stand in the awe and the wonder of God and bring our worship. But yet I think sometimes we think I'm going to go to the building to get something. Get my deposit when we really... Because it was an interesting question. You were taking pictures and our tour guide started asking me questions about churches, and I was like, oh man, it's really complicated. But I found it so refreshing that she had such a innocent view on all of it. But so much history standing there. What were your, I mean, you've already kind of said it, but what were your impressions, takeaways?
I mean, I have known about this place since I began church, studying church history. And so it was kind of not a bucket list. I don't know that, but just like a desire, like I would love to see this place someday. The history is so rich and it did not disappoint me. Like I love these kinds of spaces though, especially the ancient ones and just the ones that like reach back over unbroken lines of generation after generation, going all the way back to the earliest of early, church formation. Like one beat or two beats, just a couple of generations after the apostles. And so just, I don't know, just being in those spaces, overwhelm me. I mean, I don't know, just awe, just reverence and awe. And it's a lot to take in. Not that there's, magic powers. It's just like, wow, this is a very, very, very important place to the faith that was handed down to me, the faith as we know it. And to just be there. I love those spaces. They just, there's not a whole lot to say. You just kind of drink it in.
Yeah, I mean, the building itself is so larger than life. And I hope that we don't hear some of these words and think irrelevant because it's so ancient.
No, not at all.
It's, man, it's, the history is so rich.
Yeah.
I mean, we got just like a smidgen of information, but it was like, whoa. And then the next 100 years, this happened. And then the next 100 years, this ruler came in and wiped.
Yeah. I mean, this is a 1600 year old church. And so, man, I mean, we live in the United States and we're like this church is like 1300 years older than the country we live in.
Yeah.
So it's just, so much before Christopher Columbus sailed across the ocean blue, right? I mean, before anybody even knew that the lands were where we now live, this church was standing. And so
they had already covered up that mosaic about, 1200 times before Christopher C. even thought about coming to the U.S. of A.
Which it wasn't at that point. So, like, there's just so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not get into American history because we're not experts on that. Not that we're experts on anything, but it's just so much older and stretches so much farther back. And so being in a space like that was really awe-inspiring today and just kind of tapping into early, early church history here in Istanbul.
Yeah.
Was great as we just kind of get adjusted to the time and get prepared to really launch in and go all over Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have any other impressions of our day or the Hagia Sophia before we sign off for today?
I do. And again, it's from a hospitality viewpoint because we haven't really started the New Testament stuff. But so we went to lunch today at this place close to our hotel.
Yeah.
And you gave me all decision-making powers with lunch. No pressure, Jill. And so I picked this place that's kind of endearing to our family.
Mm-hmm.
When the kids were little, I called the kitchen in our home, Big Mama's Kitchen.
Yeah.
We even made menus and such at times. And so the name was Big Mama's.
Yep.
We had to go.
Yep.
And, you know, we're walking down the street and people are just coaxing us to come in and eat, you know,
right,
showing us the menu stuff.
Yep.
But my original plan was kind of like, I'm going to be chill here. And the person that doesn't beg us to go in, that's the place I'm going. But the name drew me,
mm-hmm.
but the man didn't coax us in.
Mm-hmm.
But as we walked in, he said, where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
From the United States. We sit down. We're the only people in the restaurant. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
The music stops.
Yep, and it's all this kind of Turkish modal type of...
Which was fine.
Yeah.
We're in Turkey.
Yeah. It set the atmosphere.
And I have no expectations. Like, I'm in your country. Show me your ways. I'm not here to reform you.
Mm-hmm.
But the music stopped and on comes an American playlist.
Yeah.
And I just was like, how kind.
Mm-hmm.
Just those little things, you know, it's like they didn't expect us to notice, but they were just like, Americans are here. We're going to serve you really good, fantastic French fries.
Mm-hmm.
And play, you know.
Chips,
yeah. And play some music that you might want to dance to while you're sitting here eating your chips.
Yeah.
And it just made me feel so welcomed.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like it does not take much to be kind to people.
Yeah.
And welcome them, you know, in a foreign, strange land.
Yeah. And this is a city, I did not know this, of 20 million people.
Mm-hmm. It was astounding to me, too.
Yeah. So I agree with you.
Any last minute takeaways for you?
I think that's about it. Other than I'm looking forward to our next post.
Yeah.
To show some of the stuff that we're talking about and bring everybody in. And that's always so fun. Hopefully you are enjoying us gabbing about it and just debriefing with you and posting things that you can see what we're talking about. And we always love that when we're in Israel, and we're loving that now. We're loving that thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people are following along. And I guess maybe my takeaway, or not takeaway, but my constant request is to continue to pray for us.
Mm.
We got a lot of ground to cover, and we need to stay healthy, and we need to stay
awake.
Yeah, just a lot.
Yeah.
And even just being able to do this, I'll take the time to do this instead of like mobile recording and everything. All of this is efforts of love, but efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got to keep our energy. And so thank you for your prayers.
Absolutely. Couldn't do it without. It's sort of the underbelly, the sustenance that just keeps us going.
Yeah.
The wind beneath our wings.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you. That was perfect, babe. I think that's right. That's the right landing. Thank you, everybody, for being the wind beneath our wings. DailyAudioBible.com is the website. And that's home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well. And so check it out. Stay connected. Be connected. If you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. And since this is chronological and DAB together, once you hit that button, there'll be a scroll bar and you got to pick where you're, which community you're calling into. Why don't you say that? You say that every day.
Yeah, you've got 2 minutes on the prayer line when you are finished. Hit submit, take your little finger and scroll it over to DAB or to chronological.
Mm-hmm.
And it will get to the right place, or you can use your finger.
Yeah.
Old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
Burn some calories.
Yeah.
800-583-2164 for the chronological.
Or 877-942-4253 for Daily Audio Bible. And I guess...
if you would like to partner with
us. Yeah. Thank you. Humbly. Beyond humbly. There's a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is...
P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee. Say it with me. 37174.
And that is all for today. I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
I love you. And we'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Love one another.
Hi, y'all. This is Taken with Love from Louisiana. Y'all, we're going on a trip with Brian and Jill. I'm so excited. Thank you, Brian and Jill, for including us in this endeavor. It probably wasn't on your first thought to take us all along with you, but I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord, I thank you that the platform that we call Daily Audio Bible is anointed and blessed by you. I believe and declare over Brian and Jill and the whole entire team that's going to film and document and scout out all about this land, that you would put them in your protective bubble. Father, when they go to the north, the south, the east, and the west, I pray that you go before them and stand behind them. I pray that none of their equipment or luggage gets lost. I pray that the frustration of airlines and hunger and all the crazy things that happen when you travel will just be at a minimum. Oh God, I lift up this whole entire group to you. And Father, I pray that all the rest of the dabbers would realize what a gift this is, because not very many people are willing to take us virtually with them on their trip. It kind of doubles the work for them. So Father, bless them in the name of Jesus. Bless this whole platform as we excitedly join them on a trip of a lifetime. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Hey, Dab family, this is Sally from Alberta in Canada. And I just ask you to lift my friend Jackie up in prayer. She's a mum of two. Her and her husband are planning on retiring quite shortly. But she went into hospital last week having some headaches and has basically found that she's got a very, very large tumour in her brain, which she's having to have removed next week, and then having to decide what happens then depending on the success of the operation and the biopsy of the tumour. I just ask you to pray for her, give her strength, give her peace, lift up her husband and her daughters as well in prayer, and just give them strength, and just help me to stand on this. I'm totally believing and claiming that she will be healed in the name of Jesus, and that by his stripes we are healed, that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And I just proclaim that, and I state it over her and her body right now in the name of Jesus. If you could lift her up, I would be so appreciative. Her husband is Darren, and her daughters are Ellie and Katie, and yeah, they're just all devastated, and I just thank you that I can just come to you guys and just help you, ask you to help me lift them up, and know that I can trust in you. Thank you, Brian, and everyone for this platform, and love you all. Bye.
Hey everybody, this is Following the Pillar. I wanted to call in today for Sparky, your son's court date is coming up. I'm not sure if it's this week or next week, but it doesn't really matter in God's timeline. So I just wanted to pray. You've always been amazing for being a prayer warrior and stepping up in the gap. And so I just wanted to stand with you today. So Lord God, we come before your holy throne asking that you would just put the peace of Jesus into the lives of Sparky and his family, that you would give them calmness, and that you would give them understanding as they go through this, that you would be, that you would give favor with the courts, Lord God, that you would let true justice be served, that we know that Sparky's son is also going through loss at this time, and so we just pray that you would guide him through that as well, not just the legal situation, Lord God, but his emotional and the spiritual situation as well. We pray most importantly that all of this would be used to glorify your name at the end, Lord God, that you would use it to give a testimony, and that you would just give them something to hold on to tighter and more completely. Lastly, I just wanted to give an update. I realized I hadn't called in. My three-year-old son was having some intestinal issues. We were able to get this resolved without having surgery, so we're just super grateful and thankful for God moving in our lives in that way. Thank everybody for standing with us. Love you all, and we'll talk soon.
Hi, this is Mary from North Carolina. It is October the 8th, I heard Jesse's prayer request for his avoidant personality. And Jesse, I'm praying for you. I, too, have a background of trauma and a history of fighting some of the same things you do, PTSD, major depressive disorder, and generalized anxiety disorder. And I was in years of therapy as well. And I had to have a revelation of how much God loved me to overcome the fear that I felt a lot of times with, like you say, interpersonal relationships and even God, fear and punishment from him because of the past trauma. But I'm praying for you today that you get a experience and a revelation, a fresh revelation of how much God loves you. And there's no fear in his perfect love. So may that touch your heart. I'm praying for your mind to be free, to God, for God to remove that blockage so you can go forward. Because above all else, he wishes you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I'll be praying daily for you, Jesse. Keep hanging on to his hand. Climb up in his lap and let him be daddy. And we're going to praise God in advance for the breakthrough for you. So, Father, just give him peace, help, and everything that he needs, Father. Continue to have the support in place that he needs. And, Father, help this community surround him in prayer so that he has this breakthrough and overcomes, because he overcomes by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. You all have a blessed day out there. Praying for you, Jill and Brian. And everyone, I love you. May God's blessings be rich on you this week.